This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Julian. In about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Ibrahim Sufyan, Programme Director of the Merdeka Centre, to help us untangle the various positions of parties in the political scene right now. But for the moment, we are turning our attention to what's going on with the individual state governments. Because as the political makeup of the country at the federal level undergoes a shakeup, we're starting to see this reverberating in state governments as well.
That's right. Three states under Pakatan Harapan control might collapse, namely Perak, Melaka and Kedah, if UMNO PAS and Bersatu were to team up against the other parties. There's also the possibility of a hung state assembly in Johor if UMNO and PAS and Bersatu are in coalition against the remaining PH partners.
Because earlier yesterday, there was speculation that Pakatan Harapan had lost control of Melaka and its chief minister, Ali Zahari, was ousted. However, he later came out to say that he's still the chief minister of the state and that his government was functioning normally.
So to help us understand what's going on in state politics, we have on the line with us Tricia Yeo, fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thank you for joining us, Tricia. Good morning. So how are state governments being affected by this breaking up of the Pakatan Harapan coalition?
I think the first thing to recognize is what exactly happened and why did the coalition break up, right? So we're talking about the wholesale Bersatu withdrawal from Pakatan Harapan, which means that the only parties that remain in Pakatan Harapan right now are obviously DAP, Amanah and PKR minus the Azmin faction. So the question I think still on everyone's minds is whether there will be any more defections out from PKR joining Azmin, and so that will affect the coalition as well. So right now that hasn't happened. So assuming that there are no defections, and that if Bersatu as it stands, which has withdrawn from PH, will be, you know, forming a new coalition with UMNO and PAS, which I think is what the speculation is, then your commentator was right earlier in saying that the three state governments that will likely fall to this new, yet-to-be-named coalition of UMNO, Bersatu and PAS will be Perak, Melaka and Kedah. Because, you know, they reached the bare minimum required to form state government in those states. The state that is unclear at the moment is Johor, because if you're talking about PH versus this new unnamed coalition, there will be a hung assembly. But late last night, the Johor UMNO chief had said that he is expecting five PKR assemblymen, which is all that there is in the state, to defect. And therefore, you will have a change of government in Johor as well if that were to happen. And I think going with the names of these five PKR assembly people, I know for a fact one of them at least has clearly stated his public endorsement for Azmin. So it's not too surprising that this defection will happen. So in that case, this will actually leave Pakatan Harapan with four less states than it started out with, meaning that it will only be left with Selangor, Penang, Negeri Sembilan. And then you have, two pro-Pakatan Harapan states in East Malaysia, Sarawak and Sabah, assuming that GPS, yesterday has said that they would give their unwavering support for Mahathir. So then you have these states with Pakatan. And of course, the gainer here is the UMNO PAS Bersatu coalition, where assumingly if that coalition were to take place within the states as well, then they will control the majority of states. So they will control Perak, Melaka, Kedah, Johor, Kelantan, Terengganu and Perlis. So it's an overall win for this new coalition, which will gain three states, and obviously Pakatan Harapan will lose three states. But there are a few other things to unpack as well, because I don't think it's as clear. Even if, you know, these are neat coalitions at the federal level, one is unsure as to whether this will be so neatly you know, consolidated within the states, because number one, you have to consider the fact that while GPS has said that it will support Tun Mahathir, I'm not sure whether this support will be very strong going forward. I mean, think about the fact that the Sarawak state elections are due to take place next year. And in actual fact, within the state, at least, they don't need to be affiliated with Pakatan because they have what it takes to hold the state government. So can their support last over the next year? And number two, there's also other dynamics taking place in Terengganu because both UMNO and PAS will want to hold on to their seats if in the coming election all state seats or all parliamentary seats want to be held by individual parties. I'm not sure whether this, you know, Muafakat National coalition between UMNO and PAS itself will also survive there. PAS doesn't need UMNO there. And at the same time, if UMNO sees that it can take advantage of this partnership with PAS by taking back the state, from what I'm hearing, it's possible that you know, the previous UMNO MB would want to take Terengganu and
Trisha, fight for seats. So, obviously, what is happening here and what the political parties and the assembly people are doing are legal according to the law. But this is obviously, doesn't feel like it's very good for democracy and governance and so on. So, what can be done to prevent this kind of thing, that to ensure that actually the real work is being done, not only in the states, but also in the country?
I think the question is, like, it's a bigger structural systemic question, right? So there have been a lot of discussions as to whether this is, you know, upholding the democratic mandate of the people. And I think what we have right now is a legal and constitutional structure that actually does allow for coalitions to be re-cobbled over during the course of the 5 years in between elections. And it's an unfortunate, you know, something that the country has inherited from other Westminster constitutional systems, the parliamentary systems. I mean, if that needs to be changed, it's something that needs to be changed within the constitution, and that will require a two-third majority in parliament, which I don't think at the moment we can do. But what can be done by people is that as voters, as communities, I think they need to voice out their dissatisfaction in whatever way they can if they're not happy with the new coalition that's cobbled together. Because I think the question goes back to the fundamental thing of when you vote for your member of parliament, you knowingly vote for that person in the party that they represent. But are you also voting for that party to be in the coalition that they said that they were going to be in at the time of the campaign? And of course, that's relevant today at the federal and the state level as well. And if that's something that you're not happy with, maybe, I mean, this is really thinking outside the box here because it's unprecedented waters that we're treading into. Whether in the future you can keep your MP in check by ensuring that there are some conditions upon which they enter into an election campaign. I'm not sure if you get that.
And Trisha, can we ask, because some of the state chief ministers have been meeting with the sultans of the respective states, so what kind of role are the state royals play? I mean, is it similar to what we're seeing now with what the Agong is doing?
Yes, most of the state constitutions are very similar in wording, and they actually draw from the spirit of the constitution itself, in which the sultans will play the same role, exact same role as what the Agong will play. It's largely ceremonial, which means that they will have to act on the advice of in the case of the federal government, the Agong acts on the advice of the prime minister, and likewise, in the case of the states, the sultan will act on the advice of the sitting Menteri Besar or chief minister. I mean, well, in the states that there are sultans, of course.
Now, Trisha, there has also been talk of a unity government proposed by Tun Mahathir, a supposed government of no parties. So what are your thoughts on this? Would this translate down to the state level?
It's possible. It has been proposed before. So, you know, if you recall, right after the May 2018 election, there were several hung state assemblies precisely because there was no simple majority from any side. And I think, if I'm not wrong, my memory fails me, but Kedah was one such state where UMNO was proposing a unity government there. That could be likely if they are not able to resolve their differences. But I think in the state of Kedah right now, you know, UMNO PAS and Bersatu don't need to be in a unity government with any other state because there at least a majority would already be easily formed. I think the unity government proposal at the federal government only applies in a situation where there's no clear majority. And so at this moment, Johor would be the only one minus the defections. With the defections, it's clear as well. So I don't think unity government will happen in a state where there is a clear majority. So what we look out today for will be announcements of defections and where they stand. And also don't forget that late last night, Bersatu Youth announced that they will not work with UMNO. So it's also not clear that all Bersatu members will indeed be in coalition with PAS and Bersatu, whether federal or state level.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tricia. And that was Tricia Yeo, fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. And I think this was something that we mentioned earlier as well, the fact that Bersatu Youth appears to have spun off in its own direction. So whether or not that becomes formalised and how they reconcile it within the party is also going to be quite an interesting question.
In fact, there's a headline on Malaysian Insight just like 20 minutes ago where the headline is "Dumped by UMNO and PAS, Bersatu now eyes Pakatan return." So as the word really is fluid.
At this point in time. So now we are also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, would you support a unity government led by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad? Of the 220 votes we've received, 52% have voted for the option, depends on who's involved. 24% said yes, they would support it. 20% said no, call for snap polls. Do continue to let us know what you think. But right now we're about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin. And after that, we're speaking with Michael Kugelman, Deputy Director of the Asia Program from the Wilson Center, on US President Donald Trump's visit to India. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.